Mr. Seaver.
He says we can present it, and before we vote, we have to.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have a grant request in front of you from the Department of Environmental Quality for actually three pollution prevention projects.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to back up and go to work session because I'm being advised that I'm into a public hearing to present it. Close the work session and open a public. We can't open a public hearing. It's not. Just
information.
Okay. In what form?
Any form you'd like.
We're in a committee meeting and open. We're going to have information here. Hey, bear with me, folks.
Is this the Capitol?
This is the legislature. What do you expect?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have a grant request in front of you from the Department of Environmental Quality. The grant application is due May 14th, so we brought this to your attention today so we could get it on full committee tomorrow so that the department could get word of your decision before the 14th application deadline. I also understand, Mr. Chair, that today is a special day for you.
Really?
And since I still have to work with you, I will not attempt to guess what your age is, but happy birthday.
39.
That's what I guessed.
I thought that was your parking space.
Not 95. So, Holly? Holly and team. Yep.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Holly Schroeder with DEQ's Budget Office. Here to present our request today is Keith Johnson, who is with our Land Quality Program.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, first off, happy birthday.
Thank you.
DEQ is requesting
I need your name for the record.
Oh, Keith Johnson with Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. DEQ is requesting authorization to apply for approximately $92,000 of federal grant money from the EPA's Pollution Prevention Grant Program. The purpose of the application is to basically do three projects, which are listed there in the letter that you have in front of you. The purpose of these projects really is to complement and enhance our existing efforts to reduce toxins in the state of Oregon. And I would be happy to answer any questions you have about any of these activities.
Why don't you briefly run through them and explain them to us, if you don't mind.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a three. We anticipate using this money to do three different projects. First project is a dairy manometer sort of turn-in replacement project whereby we would be working with a couple of different entities that are listed there, the Department of Agriculture and some folks from Oregon State University, as well as the farmers, to replace mercury-containing manometers around the state, mainly in rural areas. We estimate there's anywhere from 100 to 200 of these devices still in use around the state, and they can contain quite a bit of mercury per unit, and there are effective replacements that do not have mercury. So this would fund that activity, a replacement of those units. The second part is working with the Oregon Environmental Council and a couple other agencies to do some outreach and some prevention activities with folks who have industrial boilers and furnaces. The purpose would be in a prevention way to work with up to about 20 of those folks to do some tune-up and some pollution prevention outreach and education to reduce, to have those operate more efficiently and thereby reduce some of the toxic emissions that are created by those devices. And the last part of it is we would want to work with vehicle recycling yards and the metal recycling facilities themselves that actually do the recycling of the metals to provide some kind of technical assistance and outreach to these scrap yards in removing mercury and handling mercury prior to this material getting into the facilities that actually do the recycling of the steel, which we feel will help prevent any emissions that might be caused by mercury making into those facilities.
Questions of the committee? Then I'll do it for you. Manometer. What does that measure?
The manometer is a pressure, kind of a pressure measuring device, and I believe it's actually on the cow udder as part of the milking process. It's an automated part of the milking process at dairy farms.
All right. How many of the committee members knew that? And how many of you were wondering what that
is? Back.
Any other questions?
Recess for a minute.
Pardon me?
We'd like to recess the hearing for a minute. Can we get a quorum?
Yeah, we can probably either that or adjourn and go on.
Sure.
Or I guess I just need to open the public hearing. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Well, yes, let's hear from Dan.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, my name is Lisa Pearson with the Department of Administrative Services, and we recommend that the subcommittee approve the request.
Thank you.
Well, so the fiscal is also recommending approval of the request.
Good. Thank you. What we're going to do is we're going to recess this for a while until we get a quorum, and I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2247, so thank you. Jordan, did you want to lead off on this one?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is House Bill 2247. It is a fee bill for the Oregon Marine Board. In the interim, the agency had put together a group of voting constituents to take a look at the fees that were being collected and the services that were being provided, and the advisory committee had recommended that there be a change in the methodology for assessing fees on boat owners, and this bill is the result of that study that was done during the interim. This bill has passed through both the House and Senate substantive committees and is here in ways and means because it is a fee bill and it does have a major impact on the agency's budget. You have in front of you written testimony from the Association of Northwest Steelheaders and the courts, and then a packet of letters of support that the agency provided for you. With that, I'll let you, if you have questions about the bill, the agency is here, and there may be some folks here to testify, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Mr. Don Hefner, would you like to make any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Paul Don Hefner, Director of the Marine Board. I, too, would add my congratulations to the chair today.
Thank you.
A special day. As noted by your staff, this is the agency fee bill. It stemmed from a budget note that we received in 2001 asking us to study and review our registration and title fees using a working group. We put that working group together. We held a series of meetings around the state with stakeholders and interest groups as a part of our budget development process. The stakeholder group included the Association of Northwest Steelheaders, the Columbia River Yachting Association, the Oregon Sheriff's Association, the Oregon Parks Association, the Oregon Public Courts, members of the Coast Guard Auxiliary, power squadrons, boat dealers, fishing groups, guides, and others. The group looked at a variety of options for fees. These included the option of no increase, as well as alternatives that included across-the-board increases in fees, a tiered increase in fees, or a flat fee option. The working group identified an inherent unfairness with the current fee system, which is a tiered system graduated by length, insofar as no two boat owners of different size vessels pay the same per foot rate. The rate varies depending on size. The consensus of the working group was to modify that fee structure and eliminate the tiered method and go to a flat per foot fee method of $3 per foot for 2 years. They also recommended adjustments to title fees, duplicate fees, making those more comparable to the fees charged by the Department of Motor Vehicles for similar title transactions and things such as that. With these changes, ordinance fees would be comparable to neighboring states such as Idaho and Nevada. We would still be below Washington and California in terms of fees. We presented our report to the Emergency Board in October of last year, and that report became the basis for the bill that's before you today. We discussed this briefly during our budget hearing in February. The fee bill would restore $1.3 million in reductions to existing law enforcement facility and safety programs. It would also allow us to restore facility grant funding to its 1997-99 levels and allow for implementation of the highest priority needs that were identified in a statewide marine law enforcement study that was also requested by the 2001 legislature. I've submitted for your information a series of letters that we've received from various user groups and stakeholder groups representing a consensus of support for the bill, and with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Forgive me, Mr. Don Heckner, for not remembering this from your earlier presentation. Is there an equally fat file of letters in opposition, or is there widespread consensus?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, there's widespread consensus. We've not received letters of opposition or complaints about it. It has been the fact that there is a fee bill and a proposal for an increase in fees has been widely reported in the press among outdoor writers and outdoor columns, and we haven't received any backlash from that.
And Representative, I don't know about the rest of my colleagues, but I've received several emails and voicemails and letters, and no negatives.
Mr. Chair, that mirrors the material that has been received in my office from a number of constituents. I just wanted to get it on the record.
Thank you, Representative Morgan.
I just want to say, Mr. Don Heffner, that when we put the budget note in the agency's budget in the last biennium, that I want to thank you for the work that you've done. I think that you carried out the spirit of the budget note in an exemplary fashion, and I really appreciate the work that the department did to go out and talk to the stakeholders and explain the issue and what the choices were. And I don't have any trouble supporting the fee increase because I think that you did your homework and people are making an educated choice here.
Any other questions, Mr. Don Heffner? Senator Dukes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And forgive me, well, but just looking at the bill, I'm a little confused. We're reducing fees?
No, we're...
See all these bracketed areas that say things like 15 and 25 and 21, et cetera, and then I see the bold ones that say 3 and 6. So I assume that we're reducing that.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes, we're eliminating the tiered system with the 15, the 25, the 21, and so forth, and replacing that with, in line 14, flat rate of $3 per foot for 2 years.
And that's an increase.
That's an increase.
And the other two we're leaving the same?
We are leaving the same, the boats assessed by the Department of Revenue and amphibious vehicles. Of which there are very few.
I was going to ask, what is a boat assessed by the Department of Revenue? Is that a yacht? I mean, I figure they don't care about my little dinghy, or if I had one, but...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes, those are vessels such as commercial fishing vessels, some classes of barges and other heavy industrial type boats that are assessed by the Department of Revenue. They're not used for pleasure boats.
The fee seems low. Do we give them something in return for the fee? These big guys?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes, they receive some benefit in the sense of waterway patrols, for example, that are out there making way for larger okay. vessels.
I was thinking in terms of education and all of that, which didn't seem to be benefit to them. So you're saying, but in exchange for the fee they get. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Thank you, Paul. Next, I'd like to call Brian Carroll and Ed Stollard.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brian Carroll, and I represent the Oregon Parks Association. I'm just here today to voice my support and to commend Mr. Don Heffner and the Marine Board staff for the work that they did on House Bill 2247. I echo the sentiments of Representative Morgan and the way the Marine Board handled this bill and how they put together the fee study was wonderful. They really brought together all of the constituents, listened to the ideas that they had, and really tried to put together a very good package. And as the largest association of boating facility providers in the state, we're very pleased with the outcome. We'd like to support House Bill 2247.
Thank you. Question?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Mr. Lee, members of the committee. I'm Lieutenant Ed Stallard with the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office, and I'm representing the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. For almost 30 years now, Oregon sheriffs have had a lasting partnership with the Marine Board to provide marine law enforcement on Oregon's waterways, and we believe that partnership saves lives. But for the past several years now, the funding for marine law enforcement has not kept pace with the costs, and we believe that House Bill 2247 will restore that funding to us, and we'll be able to continue this excellent partnership that we've had for many, many years. And with that, I would, again, Oregon Sheriffs would urge you to pass this bill.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions?
Thank you.
With that, I'll close the public hearing.
We can just want to finish this bill and then we'll go back to DEQ and do that.
Open a work session, House Bill 2247. Lori, do you want to hear?
She doesn't have that.
She didn't.
This is a substantive bill. With
this is right here.
Why?
I'm just following orders there.
She, I'm sorry I put that on there. She just represents the department on their budget information. This is a substantive bill that's referred to Ways and Means, and the subcommittee can take action to a motion to recommend approval of the bill and with a due pass to the full Ways and Means Committee.
Mr. Chair, are you ready for, are we in work session?
Yes, we are in work session, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2247 to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Well, I just wanted to clarify something. I guess the reason I was getting confused is that I have this staff measure summary that says there's no fiscal statement and no revenue statement, and I'm looking at a bill that says it's going to do some similar things, and I'm trying, but it looks like maybe it's raising some more money, and so I'm confused. Now, do I understand correctly that it's $4.3 million in additional revenue for 0305?
It's approximately 4.5 for this for the 0305 biennium. It'll be slightly higher in the 0507 biennium.
Okay. I was just getting a little lost because first time around, I guess they didn't think it was anything.
You've heard the motion. Any more discussion? Any opposition? Now, we want to go back to the request.
Correct.
Open the work session for the federal grant request of the Department of Environmental Quality. You can handle it for Paul.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The committee, what we need from the committee is a recommendation to approve the request to submit a grant to the Environmental Protection Agency.
Okay. Any discussion? Is there a motion?
I move that the subcommittee recommend to the full committee that the request be approved for the DEQ grant.
Heard the motion. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Motion carried. Who wants to carry this one to the full? Anybody volunteer?
The grant request?
Yes.
I'll carry it.
Johnson?
I got to learn how to pronounce that word, though.
Yeah, I was negligent on 2247. We need carriers to the full.
And to the floor.
Representative Krieger, would you take that to the full and to the floor? And I will carry it to the Senate. Close the work session. Close the work session on the grant request and open the work session on Senate Bill 5532.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you, you have a memo on the Oregon State Marine Board budget bill, House Bill 5532. And what I'd like to do is just kind of go through the memo. There are two handouts. One is the memo, and then the other is the worksheet with the detail behind it for your reference if you need that. The governor's recommended, or the governor's balanced budget is $27,242,638. LFO's recommended budget is $26,643,431. The primary difference between LFO's recommended budget and the governor's balanced budget is the reduction in inflation merit increases, the attorney general assessment, and Dallas assessments. So the first recommended budget change is to reduce the agency's budget by $599,207. I see there's a little typo on here. For those technical adjustments that were made as a result of co-chair direction and changes in the Attorney General and Department of Administrative Services budget. And if you'd like, maybe you'd like to do a motion on each one or at once, and then I can go into the policy packages.
What would you prefer we do?
I prefer that you approve the technical adjustments.
Okay.
And then we'll make the policy.
Could I have a motion on the technical adjustments?
Wait a minute. Mr. Chair, we were having a little sidebar conversation here. What are we up to?
Too late now.
We're on the technical adjustments.
On the first page is in the table at the bottom. These are the inflation roll-ups, the merit increase, the attorney general assessment, and the DAS assessment reductions.
Okay.
They're just the technical adjustments in the agency's budget.
I'm wondering if we should put Representative Krieger between you two.
No, we won't cause any more trouble, Mr. Chair.
See where he put Senator Dukes.
Right next to the door.
Not a problem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is as much for my own clarification as anything else. I want to make sure when we're looking at these merit increases that across all of our ways and means activities, we are being uniform, that we are addressing inflation, merit, COLA, STEP, that they're all being treated similarly by the subcommittees.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a
question? Senator.
I haven't done any of the math, so maybe it shouldn't surprise me, but am I understanding that for 38 people, the merit increases, the Attorney General's rate adjustment, the DAS assessment and vacancy savings amounts to $599,000?
And inflation.
And inflation. And does merit include regular pay increases as well as, I mean, I call merit the step.
The step, yes.
It's only step, it's so pay increases haven't been removed?
Well, there are no pay increase. You know, I mean, the COLAs are not, they're not factored into the budget at the time the budget is developed. That happens after negotiations take place.
Oh, so they
and then they come to the emergency board for an overall compensation plan change, and that's when.
So there wasn't any roll-up in the governor's report?
Correct.
That just seems like a lot of money to me, but okay.
It's mostly the inflation. Well, a large part of it is the inflation in the special payments that are going out to law enforcement, you know, the county contracts and the state police.
Well, I assume those are still in there, though, aren't they?
Because the inflation is not.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I hear what you're saying. The inflation on the payments the past year. Sort of.
Correct.
Okay. Any more good discussion? Chair would like a motion on the technical adjustments.
So move to accept the technical adjustments.
Here's a motion. Discussion. Any objection?
Mr. Chair, before I go into the policy packages, I just want to call your attention to the fact that we are also looking at vacant positions for elimination. This agency has no vacancies, so there is nothing to review there. So that would be another category that every subcommittee will be looking at. And policy package 100 was the fee bill, and you have already dealt with that, so I will pass on that one. What it does in the budget is recognize the revenue that will be generated as a result of those fee increases. Policy package 101 restores the current activity level of $94,191 in one FTE and $142,204 in services and supply reduction that was made in policy package 70 in the governor's balance budget to maintain program operations if we had not passed the fee bill, and I'm recommending approval of that. Do you want to do it package by package, Mr. Chair?
You'd like to do it? Let me get a feel from the committee.
Yes, please.
In package by package?
Yes, please.
Okay. Could we have a motion on package 100? We've already done that. Could we have a motion on package 101?
I move that we approve package 101.
Heard the motion. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
Susie, $142,000 in services and supplies for that fee bill we just passed?
For... Yes.
That's $70,000 a year.
Yes.
Okay. Wait a minute, we got more stuff coming here.
Just checking.
Would you like to talk to the director about this?
I'd be surprised if he counts the pens and pencils on the rooms of order.
Okay. Package 101 is...
Maybe they're sending out a lot. Well, they can't be sending out as many. I don't know. Maybe it all makes nice sense. It just seemed like a lot of...
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is in their... The $142,000 is all in their publicity and publications account, so this is their education program.
And they're going to have to inform people of the new changes. Still seems like a lot of money.
Mr. Don Hefner, would you like to come forward and explain that? I would assume that's your safety education as well.
But, Mr. Chair, it's tied into, I mean, we took it out based on the fact that they didn't have the bill, and then we put it back in because we just passed the bill.
Mr. Chairman, Paul Von Hefner, for the record. Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes, let me try to explain a little bit. As the agency put together its budget, there wasn't sufficient revenue to maintain what was previously known as current service levels. So we had to make some prorated reductions in all program areas. In the administration area, we made reductions of $236,000 to current programs.
So this fee increase is going to allow you to go back and pick up some things that
package
you normally do and wouldn't have done had you not had the fee increase.
Package 101 simply restores existing program.
Some voter's handbook and some other stuff that you wouldn't have done otherwise.
It brings programs back to where they are today.
Okay.
It doesn't move them ahead any.
Correct. Okay.
It's not inflation. It's just where we are, exactly where we are today. And the same is true of packages that you run into later with law enforcement facilities, because we took reductions in all three program areas. So what these are restoration packages, putting it back to where we are today.
201 and 301 when we get to those.
If that helps to clarify that.
Representative Johnson.
I just want to put a finer point on it. Restoration as a result of the fee increase.
Chairman, Representative Johnson, that's correct.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. You might as well stay right there, Paul, if you want. I think we're going to have more. Okay, you've heard the motion. Any more discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Package 102 adds expenditure limitation for Saved by the Jacket public service education campaign that is designed to encourage life jacket use among Oregon voters. And the agency requested $306,000, and I recommend approval.
Ready for a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move approval of Package 102.
You've heard the motion and discussions. Representative Johnson, you?
No, sir.
Senator Dukes?
The source of the other funds is?
This is the fee increase. This
increase, okay.
This is an enhancement to their budget.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Morgan.
Mr. Don Hefner, could you give us a little recap on what Saved by the Jacket is all about?
Yes. Chairman, Representative Morgan, actually Package 102, this is a brief description, but it actually has some other components as well. Part of it is a Save by the Life Jacket campaign to try to promote life jacket wear in Oregon, Oregon specific. It is the reason why 85% of all boating deaths occur is people aren't wearing them. So that's a portion of this. There's another portion of this package, which is we've termed it sustainable boating, safe and sustainable boating, and it's to promote public awareness of things such as aquatic nuisance species, critters that end up being inadvertently transported on boat engines and trailers by people that pull them in and out of the lakes. We want to address that. We want to address the promotion of new engine technology, new cleaner engine technology that's coming to bear as a result of environmental protection regulations. It's the third part of that one. Working with marine dealers in the marine industry to try to promote boating, the positive aspects of it, because we recognize that boating does have a significant economic impact in many areas of the state as a result of people traveling and using their boats, and so we want to work with dealers in the industry to actually promote opportunities for people to where they can go and what they can do.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Is there any opposition? Objection? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next one is Policy Package 103, 203, and 303, which is spread across the three program areas, admin, law enforcement, and facility grant program, to add expenditure limitation to upgrade their local area network printing, upgrade the main LAN file server and workstations, and replace the current backup system and outdated concentrators, and providing a reliable power, cooling, and security. This is $169,371, and I recommend approval.
Ready for a motion?
Chair, I move approval of Package 103, 203, and 303.
Heard the motion. Discussion? Senator Dukes?
Just one question, and I'll ask it on all of them, and then I won't have to ask it each time. Are all of the other funds on this page the fee increase?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Comments?
May I ask a question?
Representative Morgan.
I'm sure that we discussed this when we were hearing the presentation, but my poor pea-sized brain has difficulty holding all this information for this length of time. But upgrading the hardware that this package, there are these three packages will allow you to do, can you talk to the committee a little bit about what that's going to do to your ability to provide service to your customers?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, I'd be happy to. It's a long time ago in February when we first talked about this budget, and we did present this, so there's no surprise that some of this is a little cloudy today. A number of things are going to be a part of this package. We did a agency IT plan for the next planning that lays out a number of things. Part of it is security. We've been hacked a number of times from the outside. People trying to get in and manipulate files and so forth. They come in, and there's been a lot of mischief that people are trying to do. So a big part of this is trying to get some firewalls and additional security put on the servers so that we don't lose or have files damaged, and we have better backup capability. And that our system is aging. A number of the machines that we have serving us are simply not state-of-the-art anymore. We have some of the machines are 6 and 8 years old, which is a long time these days in terms of personal computers. They're just evolving so quickly that to keep pace with software and obsolescence and the rest of it, it's just trying to get back to an industry standard of keeping them within 3 years of current. So that's a large part of it. It will improve our capability and service to customers.
Thank you.
Representative Johnson?
This is a discussion that comes from another subcommittee, but I know that other agencies that are required to keep data on their users and registration had been told by DAS certain costs were involved in developing the platforms to work on. To what degree is DAS driving your equipment purchases versus, and with customized programming versus your ability to just go down and buy something at Costco? I'm obviously being facetious there. Help me understand what role in your information technology DAS is playing.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I wouldn't say that they're a big driver of it in terms of cost and that. I think probably the biggest influence that DAS has had has been in a project that we've recently brought online, and that was to do online voter registrations, online renewals. That was something that we worked on for over 2 years, and we were stymied a little bit because it was going through a central portal and complying with sort of the way DAS and the Treasury's office wanted to do that. But in terms of our other business functions, they're really not driving our equipment decisions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Senator Duke, did you have a question?
No. Well, how come you guys are smiling and nodding at each other?
Mr. Chair, respectfully, it is another agency that has a similar function. Senator Dukes is hearing their budget, and at one time I was the manager of that agency. And I'm trying to understand how doing similar functions and DAS playing a very substantial role in as a cost driver in aeronautics development of their registration system. And I was just trying to glean additional information here to see whether or not there were similarities, whether we're starting with a blank piece of paper in each agency, whether there are things that one agency could pilfer from another to keep costs down. And we were having that conversation by just looking at each other because we were both thinking exactly the same thing.
Well, it looks like you can glean a little more.
I knew I'd get Lori up here.
The other piece of that is, I mean, I've sat in Ways and Means over the years when DAS wanted $10,000 for a website, and on that little bitty agency, we're estimating $36,000 just to develop the process, and then $100,000 for this program, and
you try to multiply that times all of the number of little bitty agencies we've got, and then you see one like this, and I swear, this is my personal opinion after all these years, if DAS were involved in this, the price would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $569,000. And we've seen, I don't remember which subcommittee I was on, I guess it was the other one, when we've seen the PUC, and they did a great upgrade, and they did it themselves. And there's another agency, which escapes me at the moment, did the same thing. They happened to have their own technology people, and they did it themselves, and they did it cost-effectively. So Representative Johnson and I have been having these conversations, and Representative Krieger and I got to sit in committee this morning trying to sort through all of that, and it should be a surprise to us that we have agencies out there doing it on their own, not running through DAS. And I'm fine with it because it seems to work, and it's cheaper.
Hey, Lori.
Chair Massley, members of the committee, and not to get in a huge IT discussion because I'm far from being an expert, but a couple of things I could point out that are, we're talking about a couple of very different agencies. The Marine Board actually has most of its registration capability and the bulk of its that kind of stuff on its mainframe, which it really has not changed as far as this process. They do a lot more transactions, have a much higher number of registrants than aviation does. They also have an IT person dedicated to support the department. Those are a couple of big differences between the two animals. Aviation does not have a support person. They have a small homegrown system with a lot of problems that basically needs to be completely redone. So that's a couple of major differences between the two agencies. And although Paul said DAS isn't really driving their costs, DAS has played a role, and then IRMD has worked with the agency to develop their strategic IT plan. They do have a two-year plan in place, and these changes are part of the overall plan to improve systems in the department. So DAS has kind of played a consultant role with them, but in terms of DAS having to step in and do pieces of the work for them, that hasn't been needed to be done because they do have some capacity and some existing staff that's able to take on much of that role. And my understanding is that they have been particularly benefited by the individual that the agency has on board to take care of that work. They've been pretty fortunate in that capacity. So. Not a lot of help, but we've got a couple of very different situations. So.
Okay. Thank you. More questions? More comments?
Yes, sir.
Objection? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Policy Package 104 is to biannualize a reclassification of the Management Analyst 3 and the position to Principal Contributor 2 that was approved by the October 2002 Emergency Board. That is $34,580, and I recommend approval.
Heard the presentation, motion.
Mr. Chair, before I make a motion, I'd like to get some explanation on Package 104 and Package 304, which I think are similar.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, they are similar. They were taken care of in the same action by the October Emergency Board. One package is in the administration program, and the other package is in the facility grant program.
I know that Senator Dukes and you and I have worked this issue quite exhaustively, and I suspect that Senator Dukes has worked this longer than I've been in the building. And we continue to be frustrated by the process of reclassification. And I'm wondering, for the members that need to have their frustration level raised, if you could take us through how these came to be this way.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, this part of this package
And what I want to also preface before you get going on this is not an issue that is germane to these positions or this agency. This is an issue that is part of the way that state government operates.
Okay, I'll see if I can do this. And it's easiest to do it in the context of this budget because it'll help you understand why they're here today. In the last biennium, when we reviewed their budget, there was a proposal to reclassify several positions in the agency. One was a position to a deputy, or it was labeled a deputy position. And this committee in the last session didn't believe that was necessary, and it hadn't been reviewed in the context of in a broader context of the organization, and it didn't have the feel of having had a review by the Department of Administrative Services. I don't recall the exact details of that, but we had written a big budget note that directed the agency to go back and take an organizational view of the department and determine whether or not, first of all, whether a deputy was necessary or whether there were other organizational structures that could facilitate operating more efficiently without a deputy. And as a result, they determined that they didn't need a deputy, but they did need a more of a high-level policy person that acted in some instances as assistant, but mostly as a policy analyst. I'm going to call it a policy analyst, but, and that's what the principal contributor is. At the same time, they looked at some other positions and they did some reclassifications within the agency and a permanent financing package for some other, a few other managers and some other level positions, and one of them is the natural resource position that was approved by the emergency board for the facilities grant program. Now, the frustration that we have is that when we ask DAS to oversee a reclassification program, what they do is they take it, it appears that they take the information that the agency gave them and do a paper review. They didn't go in and actually do a desk review and interview the employees and actually go in and make sure that what they, what the agency was saying they wanted out of this position was actually being was actually occurring. And sometimes it feels that like the DAS review is a very quick and dirty and not very analytical. I'm not trying to say that they don't put any time into it, but each of the agencies, some of the agencies have permission to do their own reviews. Some of them do not. Some of them require, you know, when I get an analysis back, it's one line that says it looks like it's, you know, it appears to be within the classification. It doesn't tell me what it is, what factors they looked at, what was included in it, so I have no way of knowing whether there was an adequate review done. But that is the mechanism that the state has in place for reviewing positions. There is criteria. There is a system for determining whether positions where positions fit within the pay scale in the state, and as long as that's the guidance that we have, then we're going to continue to receive requests for reclassifications in this manner, in that manner. And this is a biennializing something that happened late in the biennium that wasn't done in time to fold it into their base budget calculations. Does that help?
Both of these positions went before, I believe it was the Education Subcommittee in E-Board, mm-hmm. and received authorization at that time to reclass the positions. And so what we're doing here is just rolling that E-Board decision into their budget.
Correct.
Mr. Johnson?
I'm about to ask a question that will demonstrate my inexperience in the process, so be patient with me. What happens if these two policy packages are not approved by this panel?
Well, the positions have already been reclassified, and the agency would have to take that amount of money to pay those people from their base budget. It doesn't change the classification of the employees. It all it does is remove the money. To pay them.
And therein is the irony of all of this, because part of the issue that we've got with all the vacant positions that we're trying to roll out of budgets right now are there are a number of those positions that are vacant because the money was taken out to cover these kinds of issues that weren't dealt with clearly in budgets. So,
well, you're going to get into all kinds of technical terms. You know, they do permanent financing packages, which could take some vacant positions to reclassify another existing position. So they take the salary from the vacant position, and eliminate that vacant position to create a reclassification. There are reasons for making sure that agencies have the right people doing the right job, and as work changes over time, they may find that they need a different kind of a person to do the work that needs to be done. And so it is appropriate to do some of that kind of work during the interim or in the budgeting process.
Well, and if I might, Mr. Chair, I think that what you describe is incredibly legitimate, that people's job descriptions do change over time and their duties do change over time. I think what is frustrating to me is that the review process to ascertain whether that is a reality or not is, in my estimation, very much lacking. And we clearly attempted to address this issue over the interim in the audit committee and just ran out of time, and intended to address it in the session in the audit committee, and then ended up using the audit committee to rework the Oregon Health Plan and deal with those kinds of issues. So it is my supreme hope that if we can avoid doing what we did in the last interim, and we have an interim audit committee, that committee look at this process and try to bring it into the open more and make it more defined and more thorough.
Senator Dukes.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Susie just gave an excellent overview of how the process works. My biggest frustration in it is that when a reclassification goes to DAS, and they don't all, but when it does, they determine whether or not the person is doing those job descriptions for the new class. Nobody ever asks whether we want them to be doing those jobs. We had a situation last year where the legislature had, or last session, the legislature had said no to a position and eliminated a position. And through reclassifications, the position magically appeared again. Maybe not so magically, but it reappeared. And so this session I had the discussion with DAS, and I guess I give up. I figure that we're going to get this one solved just about as soon as we're going to solve the $100,000 computer system for a little bitty agency. So it's just, they don't want to go there, period. And if they don't want to go there, they're not going there. We had the last head of DAS in front of us last session, and we chewed on this and chewed on it and chewed on it. And I thought we had it solved, and then I discovered that the E-Board took care of it all for us. And we're back doing it again, so I just got other things to break my pick on this session, I guess. But Representative Morgan is correct. It is a huge frustration. We pass a budget out, and we think we've got it, and we don't. And this is one of the variables. I think that DAS ought to be looking at every classification, because if an agency decides they want to reclass and they decide, then they review it, guess how it's going to come out. And I think they ought to be reviewing it against what the legislature said they wanted that agency to produce and perform, not based on whether the person's... Because we're right now in a salary freeze. If I were a manager and I liked my employees, you think I wouldn't be trying to get more and more out of them? And then, in exchange, doing a reclass? Of course I would. I don't fault anybody for doing that, but it isn't going to help the budget.
I'd like some clarification. I recall hearing from someone not too long ago that at one point the legislature did approve reclassifications. And
yeah.
Some years ago, they turned that authority over to the executive department.
Correct.
And so it seems to me that if we were going to get that authority back in, we probably need to do some legislation.
That's probably it, Mr. Chair. Last.
And that might probably get vetoed.
I think it was last session when somebody said to me, how do we do this? And I said, we have the authority, we don't have the power. And it's a strange commentary. We don't like to think that situation ever exists.
I'm not even sure we have the authority, but we have the authority to ask the question. But not
we have the authority to determine exactly which positions are funded.
Mm-hmm.
We can do them by name, not person's name, but, you know, NRS 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many of those we got, you know, and admin this and that. We can do that if we want to. We don't normally want to, but we have that authority. You go try to make it happen.
Yes.
Well, I've vented my frustration.
I was going to try out one last way to skin this cat, and that is perhaps to have the agencies put some pressure on DAS, too. Failure to pass this package would then, if I understand you correctly, Ms. Jordan, would force the agency to fund these with other funds. I mean, with they'd have to find it internally.
Correct.
It's bad enough that the legislature cannot impress on DAS that this is a mounting source of frustration. Maybe if we make life difficult enough for the agencies, that they will bring pressure from the agency side to bear on DAS. I just am unwilling, I guess, to sit here and say we can't do anything about it, and so we get marched back into a corner where ostensibly, because of the level of frustration, we just give up and surrender.
Well, but remember that the agency went to the e-board and presented the case, and the e-board agreed.
Right. I agree that that occurred. I would say that in the intervening 6 months, a great deal has occurred. I don't know whether that unrings the e-board bell. Now we're being looked at, we're being looked to biennialize this. The policy decision has ostensibly already been made. But I'm just trying to start a squeeze play on DAS with the level of frustration from the legislature saying we got to do something about this. Make it difficult on the agencies and let them press on DAS, too, from the other direction.
I would suggest that this is much bigger than this department, and the proper way to approach it would be to go to leadership and go to the co-chairs and say we've got a problem we'd like to identify, and we'd like... And we would like
maybe one more time.
I'll go with you, Mr. Chair.
You know, here's my concern.
Mr. Chair, if I could make one point. I don't disagree with what Representative Johnson is saying, but I haven't really looked at these two particular positions. I don't have any reason to think that maybe they shouldn't be reclassified, so this might not be the agency to start with.
Mr. Chair, perhaps a reasonable thing to do would be if this was amenable to the members of the committee is perhaps we could send a letter outlining our wish to have this issue taken up in the interim by the audit committee and to have the process involved looked at and procedures or possible statute changes be discussed to change the process.
I'll give you one better, though. The co-chairs have listed reclassifications on the things that we're supposed to be looking at. So I think we could move it up and get somebody to make some sort of a decision a lot sooner than that before we get into the general fund budgets.
Well, this is an oddball case to try to break our pick on because it's kind of already been decided and we're only enacting it. And I'm just using this as the ramp to the larger discussion.
I sure hope you ladies all fare better. Well, here's my concern. At the rate we're going, I'm going to miss my birthday cake.
Is today your birthday?
Yes.
Oh, I was on the floor.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, would you be amenable to having the committee members sign a letter to leadership asking that this issue be taken up by the audit committee?
Just taken up and maybe push them. I'd like to see it done this session because we started last session. And then we expected the interim, and then the interim didn't happen, and so pressure's on, and it's money.
I would be fine with putting that in. Personally, okay. I'm a little overburdened at this point in the session, and I'm not able to get part of it.
I think that's a great idea.
Maybe that means the whole
thing. Susie would be more than willing to write and draft.
I would move acceptance of package, or I would move approval of package 104, and I'd also be willing to throw 304 in if that was appropriate.
That would be fine.
It is. Give me a head nod, Quinn. Is that all right?
Yep.
Hey, I hesitate to ask for discussion. Any more discussion?
Don't.
Any objection? Motion carries. Boy, no worries.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, package 201 restores reductions made in policy package 70 that would eliminate 15,700 hours of marine patrol to counties and to the state police and 120,000 for boats and equipment that's in need of replacement. That is $737,543, and I recommend approval. And this is as a result of the fee increase, they are able to restore it.
Mr. Chair, I would move package 201 as recommended.
Thank you. We've heard the motion. Discussion of the motion? Objection? Motion carries.
And package number 202 increases marine law enforcement, $790,000 to add one full-time and 15 seasonal officers to 11 county marine enforcement programs and provides training resources for $176,000 for officers, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair, I recommend approval of package 202 as presented by Ms. Jordan.
Heard the motion. Discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
I might point out that that is an enhancement on the current service program.
You really want to change your
current
vote?
Current activity level. Almost slipped. And package 301 restores reductions made in package 70, and we reduce the amount of grant funds available for maintenance and improvement at loading facilities and public access sites statewide, and that's $485,923, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of package 301.
Mr. Morgan moves. Discussion? Objection? Motion carried.
And package 302 is an enhancement of the facility grant program for improvement at boating facilities and public access sites of $1.9 million, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of package 302.
Heard the motion. Discussion? Representative Johnson?
No, sir.
Oh. I can tell that much.
Agreed.
Well, I was... as soon as we finish this piece of business.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. This is an enhancement also, Susie?
Yes, this one. So. This is an enhancement.
Any more discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair. Now, Mike.
Representative Johnson.
Back in 301, this reduces the amount of grant funds available for maintenance improvement at boating facilities and public access sites.
It restores a reduction that was made in package 70.
Thank you.
To the current
a double negative makes a positive.
I'm with you. I'm sorry. Okay.
Budget lingo.
I'm with you.
Fall as hell being the first budget of oh, I think so. What are you doing? Okay, where are we at, Susie?
We are now, right, I'm ready to recommend the amendments to the appropriation bill as a result of adopting those adjustments and policy packages. The budget bill will be approved in the amount of $26,643,431 in the 38 FTE. By amending House Bill 5532, and that is in Section 1 for other funds, Line 10, deleting $4,617,586 and inserting $4,400,179. In Line 11, delete $9,512,230 and insert $9,226,169. Line 12, delete $8,072,889 and insert $8,040,942. And in Section 2, we would, in Line 20, delete $2,245,373 and insert $2,185,685. In Line 21, delete $2,681,155 and insert $2,677,051. And in Line 19, the $113,405 is not changed. And I need a motion then to approve the amendments to House Bill 5532.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the amendments to House Bill 5532 in Section 1 on Line 10, 11, and 12 as stated by LFO, and in Section 2 on Line 20 and 21 as stated by LFO, with a note that Line 19 remains unchanged.
You've heard the motion by Representative Morgan.
Chair.
Any discussion of the motion, Representative Creek?
That's Senate. Senate bill.
Yes, it is.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
I amend my motion to reflect that this is Senate Bill 5532.
So, there's a typo.
Yes.
I apologize.
It's good thing it's your birthday, Mr. Chair.
I'm just testing me. Okay, you've heard the motion. Discussion of the motion. Objection. Motion carries.
Okay, next on business that we need to take care of with this budget is the recommendation on performance measures. There were no issues or changes raised by the subcommittee during the public hearings. The performance measures, if you want to look at them again, are on pages 14 and 15 of the agency's budget document, and I recommend approval of those performance measures as they were presented.
The presentation, do we have a motion?
I move that we recommend acceptance of the performance measures, approval of the performance measures as presented.
Motion, discussion of the motion. Objection, motion carries.
And the last thing that we need to talk about is the review of the other fund's ending balance. And on in the packet that I provided you with the detail calculations, the last page is a calculation of the agency's ending balance with the LFO adjustments. This agency typically maintains about a two-month ending balance, putting the remainder of their funds back into their programs for law enforcement and facilities maintenance. And the other reason they only need a two-month ending balance is because they have a large revenue transfer from the Department of Transportation from the fuels tax in about August. And so their cash flow requirements allow them to maintain a more minimal than some of the other agencies. With the passage of these amendments and reductions in their budget, they will have $658,000 more than the two-month requirement. If you want it to be a little more conservative and allow a three-month requirement, there would be about $369,000 more than was required. And you have some choices. You could put that money back into the law enforcement program or the facilities grant program. It's up to you. Or leave it in the agency's ending balance. The last option that you have that some members have thought about is transferring some of that ending balance to the general fund, which would be done in a different bill.
How much is the excess ending balance again?
It's $658,000 above the two-month requirement, and $369,000 if you allowed a more conservative.
Mr. Chair.
By way of preference, I would be much more inclined to look at putting any excess ending balance into agency programs rather than trying to reach out and get it for the general fund. I understand the direction from the co-chair, and I understand the sensitivity in trying to find every possible source of general fund money. However, I think the nexus between user-provided fees and that ending balance is so high that we end up inviting, at a minimum, complaints, at a maximum, lawsuits. And given the agency discretion to put it into one of their programs, particularly that benefits our friends at the local level, where many of these projects are actually put on the ground, might be a way to help make up for some of the abuses we've heaped on local government throughout the special sessions and up to this point.
Representative Kruger.
John, State Police Game Division doesn't have commercial fish officers, but they do all the checking of the commercial fish boats, the licenses, gear, and required thing. Are they compensated anywhere by the Marine Board for the work that they do specific to commercial fish?
Chairman, Representative Krieger, not specifically, no. That's not a part of our contract because these funds are coming from recreational boating, and that's the main thrust of our program. Now, as an incidental duty, I mean, since they are out there collecting, law enforcement, general law enforcement, as an incidental duty, I can't tell you that some of that doesn't happen incidentally, but it's not the primary mission.
Commercial boats do have Marine Board licenses.
Some do. Some
majority do, unless they're up in the, I forgot what the tonnage is.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krieger, many of these are boats assessed by the Department of Revenue. They're not So they're either assessed by revenue or by the counties locally, and they pay property tax rather than boat registration.
That's true of the larger ones. There's a lot of the smaller ones, the small troll fleet. It's just on drag that the Marine Board. Just crossed my mind if we're talking about commercial needs. Of course.
Mr. Chair, as long as Mr. Don Heffner is at the witness table, I would be willing to solicit his input if the ending balance were returned to the excess ending balance were returned to the agency for allocation. What recommendations, given his intimate knowledge of the agency, he might make to us?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Johnson, I think we'd have to approach these as one-time funds.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, it would, I think, be most prudent to put them into either the facility program where we can make good use of the funds for one-time, you know, one-time bump in aid to local governments to construct additional facilities and or additional capital outlay perhaps for law enforcement where, you know, if the money isn't there in a subsequent budget, you're not taking it out of personnel, to put it into program where we're contracting for services means that then you're going to have to retrench, and we don't want to do that. So I would think most favorably in terms of the facility grant program, I think.
Well, is there a need to carry some reserve like this? Because over time, there will be a point where you need to increase your fees again. And by carrying a reserve like this, will that delay that time when you need to increase it? I know the co-chairs, if they're listening, are going to have a fit about right now. But.
Senator Mesley, we know that there's going to be a certain amount of roll-up with the fees because we're implementing them only for 20 months of the biennium. So there's going to be some inflation proofing as we move into 05, 07 with the full 24 months of that fee package. Our agency has traditionally taken a conservative approach at the end of each biennium. We don't, since we have to raise our revenue before we can spend it, we don't go rushing off trying to, you know, get to the end of the year and spend every nickel. And as a result of that, I think if you look back at our history, you'll find that the agency has frequently approached the emergency board in between if our ending balance does get up to the point where we can do additional facility work. We have come back and asked for that. Viewing these as user fees, you know, we really view very strongly that we have to, you know, user benefits, user pays, and so we're not here to hoard money and hoard a big ending balance. We'd rather put it into additional ramps or restrooms, parking lots, things that people can use on the ground.
Senator Dukes?
Yeah, a couple of things. The ending balance that you have, well, let me back up. The fee increase we just approved isn't in place yet, is it? You're not collecting it yet, are you? So, Mr. Chair, the ending balance that has accrued without that fee increase.
Well,
so,
Mr. Chair, no? the budget is built on the assumption that the fee bill would have passed.
Okay, we just didn't spend it all. Okay. My being conservative, I'd like to see us keep a three-month ending balance. And my preference would be to put the rest into facilities grants. And my only question, Mr. Don Heffner, is can you get those additional projects out the door?
Chairman, Senator Dukes, yes, I believe we could during the next 24 months. I might also make note for the committee that we didn't talk about it earlier, but the fuel tax transfer study that was completed by DAS and ODOT doesn't show us gaining anything there in terms of revenue. It's flat at best. So if we're showing additional savings here, all of them may not materialize if those transfer amounts aren't as high as we had anticipated. By putting it into facilities, that is a discretionary area, and so it's one of the areas that the agency can rebalance its budget without creating a lot of pain.
Mr. Chair, if it's appropriate, then I would move that we leave the agency with a three-month reserve, the $865,885, and move the $369,705 difference into the facilities fund.
Representative Morgan?
I agree.
Okay. You all heard the motion. Any more discussion? Any objection? Motion carries.
Okay, Mr. Chair, that then you would need to go back and amend your appropriation bill, respect your limitation. I'm going to give you the numbers to get on the record. Line 12, you then would change from $8,040,942 to $8,410,647.
Mr.
Yes, I move that.
Do I make a motion to amend a previous motion?
No, just
to amend the budget.
To amend the budget to 8,000,004. Amend line 12 to be.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we amend our appropriation motion for Senate Bill 5532 so that in section 1 on line 12 the number is 8,410,647.
Heard the motion. Discussion? Any objection? Motion carried.
Can we read the grand shebang motion?
Did we move it out to the full committee?
No.
Okay, now we can.
Mr. Chair, I move that we move Senate Bill 5532 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
You've heard the motion. Discussion? Any objection? Motion carries. Senator Dukes, would you like to carry this to the full and to the Senate? And we would like to carry it on the House side.
Representative Krieger has the fee bill, so you could use the piling on.
Okay. All right. Are we done?
Yeah.
Any close the work session? Any messages before we leave? You've all got did hand out the schedule for next week.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if it's possible that we could get the budget, the information that we're going to have to work the budgets in advance of the committee meetings.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, LFO staff has been advised that that's of interest of the committee members, and we are going to do our best to get those to you in advance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. With that, we'll close the committee.
I think we just did the epitome of everything we've been told to do for the last few months. We turned out a lean budget. We